Chris, Kyle, you know, as men, we ought to be always grateful. We ought to be characterized by thanksgiving. So what an appropriate song to sing for us. How's everybody doing tonight? Good enough to eat? Hope you left me some. Well, it's great to be back and to be continuing our study. I believe this is the second installment here of this current series that we're in. Danny kicked off our series that we've entitled God's Wisdom for God's Man, really a thematic study through the book of Proverbs. And last time, if you remember, Danny kicked off our series by introducing the book, giving us some tips on how to read it, how to understand it, just an overview of the book itself. And then he also laid for us a foundation for the Proverbs, which he called the fear of the Lord. And so if you missed that, hopefully you can go back and listen to the recording. It was encouraging and helpful. Well, tonight, my goal in this session, as perhaps you heard this morning, is to begin to look at another theme. Perhaps we could say the theme in the book of Proverbs. That is the theme of wisdom. Wisdom. But before we do that, let me ask the Lord to help us this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. As we just expressed in that song, we thank you for sending Jesus, for shedding your own blood for our sins. Father, we're grateful for forgiveness. We're grateful for the grace and mercy that you extend to us in Christ. And beyond that, even we are grateful, in addition to that, for the wisdom you shed, for the wisdom that you give to us in your holy word. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to behold wonderful things from your law, that we might have insight, that the spirit of wisdom would now work and move as we study this all-important topic. We pray this for your glory's sake. Amen. Well, tonight, like I said, we're going to be studying this theme of wisdom, and wisdom, I think, is a topic, maybe even particularly for men, that has fallen on some hard times. If you just think through how even society itself views men, I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems that every sitcom, every TV show, it is the father figure who's the dumbest one of them all, who has the least amount of practical skill in living anything, doing anything in life. That's how men are portrayed in our culture. Wisdom, this idea, has indeed fallen on hard times, and I would say not just in the world, but even perhaps in some places in the church. I mean, just think, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when I say wise men? Christmas, maybe like me, you thought, oh, that's that story, you know, those guys, they're bringing these gifts to baby Jesus. That's wise men. Or just to prove this point even more, generally speaking, what comes to your mind when I say the word wise guy? Good or bad connotation? Bad, right? All of that to say, I think wisdom and being wise and the pursuit of wisdom for us as men, we need to recover this. We need to win this back. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. the question, at least the main question this evening, we're going to ask a lot of questions, as you'll see there in your handout. Hopefully you got one. But the main question tonight is specifically, are you a wise man? Are you a man who seeks after wisdom? Do you even want to? Is that a pursuit that you even have a category for? We spoke of, we heard Carrie talk this morning about pursuing sanctification in the Christian life. Men, do you have a category for pursuing wisdom? Pursuing wisdom. Hopefully, after this evening, you will and you must. So, here's how we're going to tackle this topic I gave you there in your handout. You'll see there five questions we're going to ask tonight. We're going to seek to answer about wisdom. What, where, who, how, and why. That's going to be our outline. And hopefully along the way, we'll debunk some myths about wisdom. We'll correct some misunderstandings about this very topic. So here's where we're going to need to begin. And you can look at your handout there. Number one, our first question is, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? We have to define this, right? If we're going to pursue it, we need to know what it is that we're pursuing exactly. Now, as you'll see, I tried to, in each of these categories, for the most part, like I said, debunk some lies. And so we'll look at first what wisdom is not. Notice negatively, what is wisdom not according to the Scriptures? Well, unlike perhaps how we've typically or a society might think of it, wisdom is not purely intellectual. It's not IQ knowledge. It's not I scored this on my SAT. It doesn't matter what you score on your SAT. Wisdom is not, at least in the Scriptures, wisdom is not book smarts. Just listen to what one writer, John Kitchen, he's a great commentary on the book of Proverbs, listen to what he says that sort of proves the point here for us. Just consider all the advancements that human intellect has achieved in this world from creation until now. Listen to what he says. At the dawn of the nuclear age, he records this, General Omar Bradley rightly observed, quote, ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. If we continue to develop our technology without wisdom or prudence, our servant may prove to be our executioner, end quote. He said the exponential growth of technological knowledge since that day has rendered us neither wiser nor godlier. Men, it doesn't matter. I don't care how smart you are. This could be a room full of astrophysicists, and we would not be the wiser if we did not know what true biblical wisdom was. So wisdom is not purely intellectual, at least not according to the Scriptures. So what is it then? Notice letter B there. As we begin to build this theology positively, then wisdom is, as you study the Scriptures, and particularly the book of Proverbs, wisdom is inherently practical. It's practical. Listen to Brad Clausen. He has a great series on the Proverbs that you can go and listen to on the Grace Church website. Brad Clausen says this. He's actually our men's conference speaker. Shameless plug. Sign up. There's my announcement. Brad Clausen writes, wisdom is inherently practical, not speculative, not theoretical or abstract. He's exactly right. The metaphors for wisdom, think about this, in the book of Proverbs, as you rifle through it, do not paint wisdom as the prestigious halls of a university or an academy somewhere. It's not depicted as a loaded library or a computer database. Those aren't the pictures of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is a well-worn, time-tested path. That's the picture. Wisdom is a voice in the public square of life. Wisdom is practical, not purely, merely intellectual. In fact, the most basic and general sense of this Hebrew word for wisdom, chokmah, is that of, it has that idea of skill. It has that idea of expertise. Someone who's really good at doing something, not just thinking about doing something. Some of you think you're really good at something. That's very different than actually being good at it, okay? Wisdom is actually being good at it. Wisdom is actually knowing how to help me install my vanity in my home, not theoretically sending me the blueprints. And the best example of this is perhaps found in the book of Exodus, when God gifted certain people with wisdom and skill for certain tasks that he was commissioning them for. I wrote down some of these passages. I think I caught all of them that I'll try to reference in our study this evening there in those, under those points. But Exodus chapter 28, verse 3, this is the case when God commissions certain individuals whom he calls skillful persons, literally those who are wise of heart, to fashion and make the priestly garments that Aaron and his sons were to wear. Listen, Exodus 28, verse 3, you shall speak to all the wise of heart, the skillful persons whom I have endowed with a spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. You think, why do they need wisdom to make a wardrobe? That highlights the root, the basic idea behind this word. It's skill. It's expertise. The same thing happens, you see, in Exodus chapter 31. The same thing shows up in the construction of the tabernacle and all the details in it. God would say to Moses there, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And listen to what God says of him. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all kinds of, not philosophy, not theory, not mathematics, but listen, craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship." And he says the same of some other men here. In the hearts of all who are skillful, there's that phrase again, wise of heart, "I have put skill, I have put wisdom," literally, "that they may make all that I have commanded you." We should adopt this word. I'm convinced now. Any carpenters in here, Jack Brem, that guy's wise in carpentry. That's how we should refer to him now. Skill. In fact, when Scripture, then you think about this, it makes a lot of sense now as you understand this word and what it means in its most basic sense. Then when Scripture speaks of God fashioning and making everything that you see, creation, the world, the heavens, it actually speaks of this as an act of God's wisdom, skill. Listen, even in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Listen, Solomon says there, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. You see, when it comes to actually putting into motion something that was planned or acting on some principle, the Bible uses this term for wisdom. That is to say, wisdom is inherently practical. It takes something from theory to reality. It's where the rubber meets the road. Are you a wise man? Or do you just know a lot of stuff? Are you a wise man? How would you have answered that if somebody asked you that? Well, I studied here and I've read my Bible through 3 times. I've been to seminary. Here was my GPA. I ask you again, are you a wise man? Are you a wise man? Now, this is also why I find this so fascinating. This is why, then, I can't pass this up. Paul says what he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 3. Perhaps you remember, after he writes 3 chapters, 9, 10, and 11, about how God is orchestrating redemptive history to bring about his salvific purposes, even through things like the rejection of Israel, and how that has actually led to the inclusion of the Gentiles in this church age, Paul bursts out in praise. And what does he praise specifically? Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You see, Paul is in awe of how God has practically, not just planned theoretically, but practically and providentially in history, through the nation of Israel, carried out and worked out his redemptive plan down through the ages until now. He's worked it out. And it's involved all these moving pieces, and we can hardly wrap our minds around it. And at the end of the age, it's going to actually end in him receiving all glory and honor. Only he could have actually done that. It's amazing. God is all wise, then, in this sense. God is all wise in bringing about creation. God is all wise in bringing about salvation. In other words, he has skillfully executed his purposes in both. God is not just a theoretical creator and a theoretical redeemer. He is an expert creator. He is a skilled redeemer by practice. He has actually done both to perfection with all wisdom. Wisdom is practical. Aren't you thankful wisdom is practical? Not just intellectual. Wisdom is, then to summarize this point, we could say, as others have before, wisdom is applied knowledge. Applied knowledge. It is understanding in action. It is knowing the right thing to do in just the right way at just the right time. That's what I'm trying to help my kids with. So, Jim Neuheiser says, the essence of wisdom is skill, the ability to do a job. Men, are you wise at your work? He says, then the wisdom offered now, as we move into the Proverbs, now that's a foundation for you to understand. Let's rescue this term. Let's understand what it really means. The wisdom offered then by the book of Proverbs is skill for living. Skill for living this life. Trevor Longman, an Old Testament scholar, adds this: it is a practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations. It's practical. It's not purely intellectual. It's inherently practical. And third, wisdom is essentially moral. It's moral. In other words, you add this piece and it's more than pragmatic. You understand the difference there? In other words, wisdom is not just skill. We could say it is also virtue. It's also virtue. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11, I have directed you in the way of wisdom. Listen to the language. I have led you in upright paths. See the parallelism there? The way of wisdom is upright paths. It's moral. It's righteous. We don't want to be skilled in doing evil. That's not wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Listen to the moral language here. Pride and arrogance of the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. That's actually wisdom speaking in that chapter, personified. Wisdom hates evil. But look at chapter 2. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. We'll look at a few larger passages along the way here, and I want you to actually put your eyes on this one. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. All the way down to the end of the chapter, listen to the language that the Proverbs uses here. He that is the Lord stores up sound wisdom. Listen to the moral component here. Stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Do you see that? Wisdom is given to the morally upright. But notice also wisdom results in moral discernment and desires, verses 9 and 10. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. You'll discern, you'll be able to know what is actually a morally good choice and what is not. And not only that, you'll desire what is good. Notice verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Isn't that sweet? There's a moral component here. Not only to your thoughts and to your desires, wisdom also then watches over the moral direction of your life. Notice the rest of these verses, beginning in verse 11, discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you. For what purpose? Notice, it doesn't lead to, you know, inventions. No. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. It'll deliver you. In other words, it'll protect you from evil influences, evil men in verses 12 through 15, that evil woman, the adulteress in verses 16 through 19. It will protect you. It will keep you from evil influences. And not only that, there's a positive moral component to this too. Look at verses 20 through 22. It will lead you then in righteousness. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, the treacherous will be uprooted from it. You see, wisdom is essentially moral. It's not just skill in living, it's skill in living the right way. Skill in living, as Danny even quoted last time, Dan Phillips, he brings this moral dimension into his definition. Wisdom is the skill for living in the fear of Yahweh. That's the moral component. John Kitchen affirms this by saying, to live wisely in the world is to live in harmony with the God who created, sustains, and governs it. Again, Brad Clausen also says helpfully that wisdom is the know-how to navigate the treacherous paths of life successfully. But then he adds this, not just so that you won't die, but to the glory and pleasure of God. That's the success. That's the moral element. In other words, the goal of proverbial wisdom for us is to help us then practically to live in a way that honors God, to be successful in this spiritual endeavor primarily. So if you want a New Testament passage on this that brings out the moral element of wisdom, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verses 13 through 18, just listen to the language. Who among you is wise and understanding? And you might say, well, let him show us his grades. Show us his inventions. Show us his GPA. Show us by how he puts everybody down in his wise debating. No. James says, let him show by his good behavior. His deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Look, you could be earthly, natural, and demonic and win every single argument that comes your way. It's not wise. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above, that's what we're after, is first, here are the moral elements, pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So wisdom is not purely intellectual, it's inherently practical and is essentially moral. That's the answer to that question, what is wisdom? Moving on, number two, where is wisdom found then? Where is wisdom found? Where can we get it? What is its source? Again, beginning with where it's not found. Notice, wisdom is not found, unlike what the culture tells you, in yourself. Men. Do not look inward. Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. I love this one, Proverbs 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Wisdom is not found by looking within. Men, you do not want to do that. You will not like what you see. Wisdom is not found, notice, in human learning either. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul will pose this question to the culture in Corinth that loved wisdom, right? But a worldly, not a biblical wisdom. He would say this, where is the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? In other words, where is the scholar? Where is the physicist of this age? Where is the scientist? Where's the CDC? The experts, the professionals. Where are they? And then he asks, is not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And then this telling statement. In verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, all of those credentials, just stack them up, they'll never lead to the knowledge of God. It's not in human learning, not in human worldly wisdom, and neither is it in the creation. Notice, flip to Job chapter 28. This one is so compelling. The language here. Perhaps you've read it before, but Job 28, also a wisdom book. The point here being, wisdom is not found like we would find gold, or even scientific discoveries, we could make that implication. Listen to what Job says. Surely there is a mine for silver, verse 1, and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust. Copper is smelted from the rock. Man puts an end to darkness, and to the furthest limits he searches out the rock in gloom and deep shadow. He sinks his shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro from far from men. What's his point here? Men go to great lengths, don't they, to search for precious stones. But notice, skip down to verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. Creation, you can look around and ask the birds of the sky, the creatures, the rocks. Is it here? Leave no stone unturned. Literally, you won't find it. Not in creation, not in nature itself. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor silver be weighed as its price. In other words, you can't buy it. You can't go into the marketplace. You can't go on the internet. You can't go on eBay. You can't buy it. You can't buy it on eBay or Amazon. Not even Amazon Prime. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Skip down to verse 20. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It's hidden. It's hidden. Even Abaddon and death say, with our ears we have heard. We've heard of it. It's not in creation. It's not anything in this earth. Notice then, where is it? Wisdom is found in God. Look at verse 23. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. You know what Job is saying there? It begins with God. Flip back to Proverbs. Let me show you some similar language here. Proverbs chapter 8. I realize we're back and forth all over the place, but such is this kind of study. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 22, this whole section here, all the way down to verse 31, uses similar language to Job. Notice verse 22, the Lord possessed me. This is wisdom speaking. Wisdom personified, speaking of itself. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earlier times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. And you say, that's why you can't find it here. Because it was here before all this was here. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed. Skip down to verse 30. Then I was beside him. Listen to the skill language again. As a master workman. And I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Wisdom is found in God. God is the source. God is the end and the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Men, do you want to know wisdom? Do you want to pursue wisdom? You can't do that if you don't pursue God. You need to pursue God if you are pursuing wisdom. How about some New Testament passages? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In Christ, you know this well, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, men, when they dig into the earth, they're diving, they're searching, they're mining in the wrong place. You know where they should mine? Christ. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. He's the source. But notice, second, wisdom is found in God's word. The second part of Proverbs 2, 6. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives, and it's from His mouth. So you find wisdom in God, and you find wisdom in God's word. You know this, Psalm 19, verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Carrie quoted this morning. We don't have time to look at this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul makes the point there that when Scripture speaks, it speaks the wisdom of God, the depths of God, the mind of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, of course, you remember what Paul said to Timothy. From childhood, you've known the sacred writings, the Scriptures, which are able to give you, what? The wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Scripture gives this wisdom. It's found in God. It's found in His Word. Third, I'm back there now. Flip your piece of paper over there. We've got another question then. So we've looked at what wisdom is. What is wisdom? We've answered that. It's not purely intellectual, practical, or it is practical, it's moral. Where is wisdom found? Not in self, not in human learning, not in creation, but in God and in His Word. Number three. Who is wisdom for? Who is wisdom for? This is an interesting study here. Notice first, wisdom is actually for everyone. We could say that in a sense. Wisdom is for everyone who doesn't have it. Which, by the way, if you're a man born of Adam, you don't have it inherently. But flip back to chapter 1, verse 20 here for a moment. Let me show you why I say wisdom is for everyone. Because wisdom in the book of Proverbs is seen, like I said earlier, as a voice in the public square calling out an invitation for all to come to her. And it's given to all. Notice, Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. You see, it's not in the back alleys. It's not in the ivory towers where she's issuing this offer. It's not in the privacy of the homes of the elite. It's in the streets. It's in the square. It's in the noisy streets. It's at the entrance of the gate. You see how broad this is? And here's her cry. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. You see, this cry is an offer to those who don't have it. And that's all of us. Turn to chapter 8. I'll show you this again. Chapter 8, we see this same call. Verses 1 through 5, does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On, now here he adds, on top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. In other words, not off the beaten path, but right where everything converges. 5 points in Winston-Salem. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. And who does she cry to? To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Are you a son of Adam? Her call is to you. Men, she calls to you. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. This is her call. It's to everyone who doesn't have it. That is wisdom. And notice, just flip over one more chapter, chapter 9, just to drive this point home, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom, this public call of wisdom to everyone who doesn't have it. Wisdom has built her house. I love the picture here. She's hewn out her 7 pillars. She's prepared her food. She's mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. So now you get this picture in verses 1 and 2 that this isn't just, hey, come on. If you want, you can come. This, she's prepared. She's trying to get people to come. Come eat with me. Come dine with me. Verse 4, whoever is naive, in other words, whoever doesn't have wisdom, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. So why is it so hard for wisdom to get an audience? You ever wonder that? We'll look over to the end of chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, because there's a competing voice out there in the culture. In fact, there are a lot of them. And notice, I want you to notice as we read this section, 9:13 through 18, how this, there's another woman who's occupying the same territory. Imagine that. Verse 13, the woman of folly is boisterous. She's naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house, on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and the bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Isn't that vivid imagery? Listen, there are so many voices. Men, there are voices out there competing for your attention. You want to know why so few find it, even though it's offered to all? This right here. Wisdom is for everyone in one sense who does not have it. The call goes out broad and wide, but notice, wisdom is only, really, only for those who truly desire it, who truly want it. Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love the language here. Wisdom, again personified, says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. How's that for a promise? Does that sound familiar at all? It echoes, doesn't it, of Jesus' offer, come unto me. Come unto me. And we know, listen, brothers, you know, he will not turn you away if you come. Proverbs 14, verse 6, listen to this language, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. Because you know why he looks for it? He looks for it just to scoff at it. He looks for it because he loves to argue with it. So he's not going to find it, but knowledge is easy to one who has understanding. It comes. It's plain. It's simple. It's understandable. It's there. Do you want it? Then get it. Proverbs says, get it. Get after it. Man, God is not playing this game with you with wisdom, right? He's not doing the thing, putting it under the bowl, and there's like four other bowls here, switching it around. He's not doing that with wisdom. Here it is. Come and have it. It is for all who desire it. Fourth question, perhaps most helpful one tonight. How is wisdom acquired then? How is wisdom acquired? Look, if it's offered to all and very few actually achieve it, very few actually end up with it, then how is it acquired? I mean, is it that easy? I said simple, not easy. Those are two different things, right? How is wisdom acquired? Well, with much difficulty, might I say. Wisdom, notice, is not acquired passively. Brothers, you cannot sit around and imagine this is going to fall into your lap. It's not acquired passively. Proverbs 22, verse 15 is an illustration of this. Okay, you parents maybe know this verse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You know what? Only the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Now, those of you who have kids, is that an easy thing to administer? How often are you doing that? You know, kids in my season of life, look, that is exhausting. You know what's easier? Do nothing. But if you do nothing, do you know what will happen? Folly. It's going to run amok. It's going to rule. It's going to take over. Listen, wisdom is not acquired passively. And I would say it doesn't even, in that sense then, it doesn't, here's sometimes what we fall into, right? We assume that it comes naturally just with the passing of time. But we've already seen that's not necessarily the case. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're wise. I mean, there is a reason why in the Scriptures, the writers of Scripture and the psalmist can say, look, I can be wiser than my teachers, right? It doesn't just come automatically with the passing of time. No, wisdom takes work. Acquiring wisdom is not passive, it is active. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Here is another beginning of wisdom. So we know the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but notice Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, the beginning of wisdom is, and this leaves us scratching our heads sometimes, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. It's like, well, that's not very helpful. You mean the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom? What is Solomon saying here? It takes work. If you're not willing to go after it, then you're not going to get it. The beginning of wisdom is get up and acquire it. Pursue it. It's active. Flip back to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. Proverbs 2, again, the first five verses this time. We looked at the last half, but notice, you remember we said it's given by God. We saw that in verse 6. And now here is sort of that paradox that we see all over the scriptures, right? It's God's sovereign gift, but guess what? We're also responsible to get after it. Notice the conditions in the first five verses prior to Solomon saying, God is the one who gives it. Listen, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, if you would make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you would incline your ear to understanding, listen, that is a posture you must take. You must listen to wisdom with humility. You must actively get your heart and soul in a place where you are willing and ready to come under, that you're teachable. That takes work, men. That's active listening. If you do those things, notice verses 3 and 4 also, if you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Look, there's desperation here. There's diligence here. You must ask for it. You must look for it. You must search for it. And then the promise comes in verse 5. Then you will discern. Then you will discern. And then you will discover. Men, we must diligently pursue wisdom. You know, how often do you have a drive in your workplace to be the best worker that you can be? Maybe you're seeking to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe you're trying to be the best basketball player in your school. Do you diligently pursue wisdom? Do you expend yourself for that? If you don't, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. If you don't sweat for wisdom, you will not get wisdom. That's just what this teaches us. Can't imagine that it'll just fall in our lap or happen to us automatically. We must pursue it actively. But how do we pursue? How do we pursue this wisdom actively then? Well, just some observations here, three of them from the book of Proverbs. I'm sure there are many more. But just a few. First, it's pursued through repentance. Oh, man. This is hard, isn't it? Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Notice, remember what the call to wisdom was. Verse 22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? How long? And then the very next verse, here's the command, verse 23, turn to my reproof, shuv. It's that Hebrew word for repent. Stop in your tracks and turn to me. Turn to my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. You want wisdom? You need to repent of folly. Proverbs chapter 8 says this very same thing. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 4 as well. Whoever is naive, you remember we read it earlier, let him turn in here. Forsake folly. Wisdom is pursued through repentance. Wisdom is also pursued, notice, through prayer. Through prayer, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. Men, do you pray for wisdom? Do you pray for wisdom? You should. In any situation, in any circumstance that you're facing, you know what you ought to do before you do anything? You have to pray for wisdom. I'll give you a New Testament passage on this. James chapter 1, you guys know, verses 5 through 6. You know, the most famous section there is the two or three verses prior. Consider it all joy, right? When you encounter various trials. And you think, well, what do I do if I can't do that? What do I do when I don't, when I'm in a situation that I would consider a trial and I don't know what to do and I'm having a hard time considering this joy? It doesn't seem very, very joyful right now. And I don't really know what path to take. What's going to honor you, Lord, in this moment? Because my comfort is saying this. You know what you should do in that moment? James says, but if you lack wisdom, you should ask. Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He will lavish it on you. Are you ready for that? But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Wisdom is pursued through repentance and prayer. Third, wisdom is pursued through instruction and discipleship. And this perhaps is the biggest one throughout the book of Proverbs. I mean, this is a father speaking to his son. This is a father seeking to disciple his young men in the truth, in the way of wisdom. And so over and over again, you hear these words. Chapter 1, verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Does that sound familiar? Hebrews chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Men, you cannot abandon instruction. You cannot remain unteachable. You cannot close your ears to wise counsel of those around you and of God's word and expect to grow in wisdom and expect to find success in this life. You won't find it. You'll fail miserably every time. You know, this is seen all over the language of the Proverbs. The language of, it shows up in the language of accepting reproof and correction and counsel. Proverbs 9, verses 8 and 9, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you, but reprove a wise man and he will love you. Are you a wise man? I'll ask again. Are you a wise man? Men, do you love instruction? Do you love, okay, let me push it past that, because this is instruction right now. Do you love reproof? Do you love correction? When was the last time you were confronted about something? Did you love it? Did you receive it? What was your attitude? Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 22, 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to knowledge. That's proactive. Look, even if you're here and you're within earshot of my voice, that's not going to make you wiser. That's not going to make you wiser. You need to apply your mind. Men, are you applying your mind to knowledge? Are you receiving and accepting reproof, discipline? Look, and as much as the Proverbs warn against being around the wrong people, Solomon also makes it clear that wisdom comes from being around the right people. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise will be wise. It's very clear, isn't it? But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Men, do you have, this is where it gets really practical for us, okay? As if it hasn't been already. But do you have relationships like this? Do you seek out men in this group, in this church, who are wise and who are willing to speak truth into your life, to correct you, to admonish you, to instruct you, and do you receive it? Do you have those relationships? If you don't, let me ask you, why don't you? Do you love wisdom? Do you love wisdom? Do you want it? How badly do you want it? Well, it's, you know, I gotta get up before work, meet this guy before the sun even rises because I gotta be at work at 8:30 and there aren't that many restaurants open at 6. There's this one and that's far from my house. Man, how badly do you want wisdom? How badly do you want wisdom? We need to pursue it because it doesn't come just by accident. Wisdom is acquired actively. Wisdom is pursued through repentance, through prayer, through instruction and discipleship. Well, last question here then, and we'll wrap up because I think our time is gone, but I didn't have time to categorize these. I wanted to. The OCD in me wanted to really badly. So I just listed them. Why is wisdom necessary? I encourage you to go just study these, but I'll just read them in shotgun fashion, and you can just listen to them, okay? And just go study them later. But here are all the benefits you would be missing. Let's put it this way. Here are all the benefits you'd be missing if you did not have wisdom, if you weren't a wise man. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. What do you want most in life, men? Pales in comparison. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy, blessed are all who hold her fast. My son, keep sound wisdom and directions, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. You want to be protected, men, from stumbling, from sinning? You need wisdom. Do you want to be protected from fear? Listen, when you lie down, you will not be afraid if you have wisdom. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Some of you have trouble sleeping. You need wisdom. There's so much fear in the world today. The world needs wisdom. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Take my instruction, and not silver. Hey, if you were presented with an option at your job tomorrow, here's a raise. You can take that, or you can take wisdom. You know what you should choose? You should be like Solomon. Choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom says. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Righteousness! My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. Last one, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Grace. Wisdom brings grace into your life. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Why pursue wisdom? That's why. Then, we must be men who pursue wisdom. We must desire to be wise. Men, be wise. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we have been so encouraged and convicted by this study tonight, and Lord, there are so many ways that we undervalue what we've just looked at. Father, forgive us. May we turn from our folly. May we turn to you. May we repent. May we forsake the path of fools and seek understanding. May we seek it in you. May we seek it in Christ. May we seek it in his word. Help us. We pray. We beg you. We cry aloud. We beg you, pour out your wisdom upon us. Pour out your wisdom on these men. Lavish it in their lives that they might live skillfully for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.